It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
arts, entertainment,
food,
topics, automotive topics,
relationship.
It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
I'm Spencer Tracy. This is sort of a milestone, I guess, for us, Doc.
Yeah, that's right, Spencer. This is show number 30 of the BTS Mix. If you can even imagine that, it seems like we just started together.
Yes, and sometimes it sounds like that, too, for, on my part. Hey, you know, but our guys over at ATS are going to be celebrating their 100th episode.
Yeah, man, talk about a milestone. That's the big one. That's like the, you know, they have the marriage, my brain is farting right now. I was about to say a marriage reunion, but it's not a marriage reunion. We're celebrating an anniversary here, and this is a 100th show anniversary. And if you were to assign a precious metal to that, as you would with a marriage anniversary, you know, you've got like your silver, your gold, and your platinum. I think this would certainly be designated as platinum. So a big hats off to Dave and Johnny over at the ATS Mix Show. Congratulations, guys. 100 shows, and we hope to hear at least 100 more from you, and keep up the good work over there. Every show is just really incredible, and we're very, very proud to have, you know, the ATS Mix Show and be associated with that. And oh, I could just gush on forever and ever. Congrats, guys.
All right, enough ass kissing. Let's go on with the show.
The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
It's the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
Do you have any pet peeves, Spencer?
Oh, would you like me to go down my list of pet peeves? You know what? I have I have been trying to work on my anger issues. It's not that I have a whole bunch of them. It's just that the one or two people that really, really, really piss me off seem to do it better than anybody on the planet. And I'm really trying to work on just letting that go, not empowering these people to make me mad, because they can't really make me do anything. They can be buttheads, and I can react to it or respond to it. So I'm learning to change my attitude. Did that sound all happy? And because I really just bought a new rifle, and I'm thinking about trying it out. No, actually, I'm kidding. No, I did buy a new rifle, though. I have some pet peeves, one of which is driving and texting while you're driving.
Yeah.
I get almost run over daily by some idiot or some soccer mom or just some guy, you know, texting away in his huge SUV and just almost kills me every day. That's one of my pet peeves. Congress. Yeah, Congress is another one of my pet peeves.
I think most people could agree that Congress is a pet peeve right now. That's for sure.
Oh, sheesh. How about you? What pet peeves do you have, Doc?
Well, this is from Skeptic One, actually, and I'll read a couple of their posts real quick here, and then I'll give you a couple of mine. And this is again from Skeptic One, and this is in the rant forum. And again, this is top five pet peeves. Her number five is a stray shedded hair. Now, this is just me, and I have long, long hair. Everybody sheds just like a dog, but it drives me nuts when I shed, and there is one hair that is touching my skin. I know it's there. I can feel it. My skin is crawling, but I can't find it. Stupid peeve, but it drives me crazy. And I have to agree, my wife has fairly long hair, and it ends up everywhere. I don't know how it gets into certain places. I'll be mopping the kitchen floor, and there'll be two or three like long hairs, and I'm like, I don't understand, you know, why you're shedding so much. Like, are you a lizard? Are you molting? And Skeptic One's top five pet peeve is people who drive with their turn signals on and have no intention of turning. Which I would have to agree with that. I think most people have a lot of pet peeves with people driving, and, you know, living here in the city, that certainly makes at least two or three spots on my pet peeve list. I've had an experience the past few days, and I've been, you know, I live in New York City here, and I'm walking around the streets, and I just started my new job today, yay, and that's very exciting. But I was walking the other day, and then today as well, and for some reason I've become the target of being shouted at by drunk homeless men, and I'm not sure if it's I haven't changed anything about my appearance, I haven't changed anything about my walk, but for some strange reason, drunk homeless men seem to love to yell at me, and they do it, I think, relatively jokingly. But it's literally been twice within the past few days where they've singled me out of a crowd of people to yell at me. So I don't know what's going on with that. So they're my new pet peeve. If you're drunk and homeless, please stop yelling at me. I have done nothing to deserve it. Of course, if I have some extra change, it's all yours. But otherwise, just please stop yelling at me and lay off the bottle. It's not good for you, especially in these cold winter months. That's my rant for this afternoon.
And besides that, please stop peeing on the sidewalk. I mean, the odor. Come on. Enough is enough.
For crying out loud, and especially in the subway elevators. Stop peeing in those. It smells terrible. Yeah, add that to the pet peeve list.
That's what I like about having a big backyard, Doc. I can go out there in my nudies or my whitey tidies and big fence, and nobody really cares. Yeah. That's the nice difference between New York and Texas. We can go outside and pee and no one cares.
Exactly. Pee in the bushes, pee in the sand, it doesn't matter.
No, and we have a healthy respect for peeing out here. I mean, there's an art form to it. You know, there's an old joke that says two guys, a New Yorker and an Aggie, walk into a bathroom. And the New Yorker, you know, finishes doing his thing and the Aggie's still at the urinal, and he goes over and he starts washing his hands and scrubbing his hands, and he's very clean. He's very tidy, so he's all sanitary now, dries his hands, and he watches the Aggie zip up and then buckle his pants and start walking out the door, and he goes, "Aren't you going to even wash your hands?" And Aggie looks over and says, "My mom taught me not to pee on my hands when I go to the bathroom." I don't know how funny that is, but slightly relevant for most people out here in West Texas.
What's an Aggie?
An Aggie is a Texas A&M. I'm glad you asked that because some people may not know. They are a, how shall I put this? Aggies are respected but also the butt of many jokes in Texas. In other words, if you have a dumb person joke, it's usually an Aggie that commits the offense.
Gotcha.
Pretty much the way it is for Aggies. Now, I am not an Aggie. Actually, I went to a different university, and I'm very proud to say that my university is now number 7 on the football poll. That's right. Go Raiders. Go Guns. Love the guys. But I think there's a universal, you know, I'm pissed at you kind of thing. I mean, even Carrot says, hey, listen, and you know, I don't know exactly where Carrot lives, but obviously bad drivers, number 1 at the top of the list. And it's just, I don't know, is it kind of a lack of respect, do you think, for other people? I mean, do you really understand that you're driving a vehicle that can weigh anywhere from a ton to 2 or 2.5 tons? And if you drive into somebody while you're texting, that's almost like committing negligent homicide. Well, that is negligent homicide. You could kill somebody, and nobody cares until somebody gets killed. And it's like, oh, it's a tragedy. Well, why did you do it? So anyway, it's also Carrot's top pet peeve, bad drivers.
Yeah, driving is all over this. Chisler posts something about driving. Rush posts something about driving. A bunch of members are on here just, you know, and at least one or two of their things in their top 5 pet peeves is all about driving. And Spencer, as you mentioned earlier, Congress is a pet peeve right now. And of course, we've got to talk about the 700 billion pound gorilla in the room right now. And I picked a couple topics out of the Breaking General News Forum because I thought that they were apt and, you know, we're pretty relevant to what's going on right now. And this is interesting. And I read this the other day. California may need emergency $7 billion loan, says the report. And this is posted in by Lurker's Rule. And again, this is in the Breaking General News Forum. And he says, the article says, California may need an emergency loan of up to $7 billion from the federal government within weeks. The Los Angeles Times Friday quoted Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger saying in a letter to U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. And apparently, it has gotten so bad in California right now that they're not sure that they're going to be able to pay their teachers, their firefighters, their police officers, all of their municipalities, and they are literally on the brink of going broke. And that's the largest economy in the United States. I mean, they could literally detach themselves from the rest of the U.S., and their economy is so large with imports and exports and all of the goods and services that they produce in throughout California, you know, and to hear a state that big, you know, and that, you know, full of people on the brink of literally going bankrupt is sobering, to say the very least.
You know, Doc, I got to disagree with you. I think Californians did it to themselves with the people that they put in office, with the crazy stuff that they want to fund with the public budget and the bizarre programs and basically choking out business. Business is fleeing from California right now due to the high cost of taxes, of just unreasonable environmental issues and everything. It's just amazing. But when you tax them out of existence and you make these laws that make it tough for a small businessman to even function, or woman or person or anybody, and then you start funding all these bizarre programs for illegal aliens, and then that drains your budget. Guys, clean up your own house, and then we'll take a look at maybe helping you. You can't just keep throwing money. Did anybody really think that $700 billion was going to fix this problem? I posted something. Maybe, Doc, you can help me remember this movie, where I think it was a Tom Clancy novel, where somebody sabotages our economy on purpose and just basically crashes everything, and everyone panics. Everyone's upset. They're just freaking out. So the government just goes, oh, we're shutting down trading. And we've got 24 hours to build everybody's confidence back in the dollar, because we're really not on the gold standard. It's all about perception. It's all about smoke and mirrors. What you think the money's worth is what it's worth, because it really has no value other than what you think it has.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that's a fiat currency.
But that's how we've been operating for, you know, how many years? How many decades have we been doing that? I kind of got off subject there. Anyway, back to California. So now we've got $700 billion. California thinks they need $7 billion of that. That's basically the way it is. Oh, you guys passed it? Well, then you can give us some money, because we're not good managers. We're not good stewards of what our people have given us, and we've squandered it. So we want to take the nation's $7 billion and try to bail ourselves out, which is actually throwing good money, our money, after bad money and bad management.
Well, and you got to wonder, you know, what the hell's going on over there in California? Didn't they just go through this? You know, they elected Arnold Schwarzenegger in there because of this situation, the whole Gray Davis situation, roving brownouts and blackouts all throughout California. The utilities were shutting down. The municipalities were shutting down. I mean, the state was literally going bankrupt. So they, you know, they literally brought Schwarzenegger in on a special piece of legislation and made him governor. And he said, oh, I'm going to clean this up. And it looked good for a little while. And now we're back to square one. I mean, what is going on over there?
It's almost like they're legislating against common sense.
Yeah, this is posted in from Anhinga, I believe the username is. And this is ironically from a website called AbundantHope.com. And I picked this thread more than anything just as a little bit of funny irony in the midst of all this chaotic and confusing and bewildering activity that's going on around Wall Street and the economic situation. And again, the title of this thread is Prepare for U.S. Economic Collapse. And this can be found on AbundantHope.net if there were anything ever more ironic. And all Anhinga has posted in from this article is fuel shortages will precipitate shortages of food, medicine, and countless consumer items. Outages of electricity, gas, and water, breakdowns in transportation systems, and other infrastructure. Hyperinflation, widespread shutdowns, and massive layoffs, along with a lot of despair, confusion, violence, and lawlessness. I don't see an abundance of hope in that. But man, I got to tell you, Spencer, I'm a little concerned, because I think that this is kind of the real thing. You know, from what I've been reading and what I've been listening to, and I'm completely finished listening to all those guys on the, you know, CNBC and all the money channels, because they have a vested interest in making sure that people stay optimistic about the economy, because if nobody's buying stocks, they're not making any money. So I've really stopped listening to them, and I'm starting to listen to economists, very, very high-ranking economists in this country who are saying that we are in for a serious piece of hurt right here. And I've been particularly listening to and reading gentleman Nouriel Roubini, and he's the chief economics professor at NYU University, and he also runs, ironically, the Bear Stearns School of Finance there. But he's really not connected. He's more of just an advisor, and the school sponsors that. Anyways, it's a long story. But he's been screaming about this for 5 or 6 years, that we are in serious trouble and we need to start taking radical actions. And he's at the point now where he's virtually called, that we're on the brink of a Great Depression. I mean, you know, Spencer was discussing the $700 billion bailout earlier, and look at what the markets did today. At one point, they were down over 700 points again, and it's pretty obvious that this thing has not even put a dent into the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of a problem that this thing is. So, you know, I think it's just best we kind of keep our fingers crossed here and hope things work out, because we are in some serious trouble.
Doc, this is one of those times when you want to be optimistic and you go, it is what it is. And what your perception of this is, if you panic, if you go crazy and you start pulling your money out of the market, that is the wrong thing to do. If you would like to move your money from this investment to this investment, that's fine. But I don't think pulling your money out of the market is a good thing. As always, you need to be prepared. This is nothing that we haven't seen coming even before Y2K, when everyone, well, what happens if we have an economic collapse? Well, what does happen? I mean, are you never prepared? You should always be prepared, because you've got natural disasters. You've got hurricanes. You've got earthquakes. You've got other things to where you may just be providing with your family with a rifle and a stick. And I mean, it may come to that. Are you prepared to do that? If you're not, you better get prepared. I'm not saying it's going to get that bad, but I don't know if I'm one of those people that sees a worst case. Well, yeah, I do. I see a worst case scenario, and I'm hoping it never, ever gets that bad. But I also understand that there have been times when people, you know, turned around and all of a sudden a natural disaster wipes them out, and all they have are the clothes on their back and the knowledge in their heads to make a living and make some type of life for themselves and their family. And you need to get that way. You can't, this is not a video game. You know, when the power goes off, if the power goes off, what would you do? I mean, I think my kid would probably, you know, scream and cry for 5 days if she didn't have a charged cell phone. I'm trying to get her out of that mentality. But we all need to be aware that, you know, this isn't all there is to this world. The stocks and bonds and money, that's not all there is to this world. And we may get a good look of what's real coming up fairly soon, but I'm trying to be an optimist here. I think that I think that we can change this if we choose to, but I don't think throwing a ton of money at this problem is going to fix the problem.
Well, I think we've reached a moral and ethical crossroads as a nation and even globally. And I think we're starting to realize that what's frustrating about this financial situation is that if you really go through the ropes and you really look at everything that was done to create this, and these are all bunk mortgages, bunk securities that were sold at outrageously high prices. Unfortunately, though, everything was done, quote unquote, legally, meaning that no bells seemed to go off. People were making tons and tons of money. And listen, I mean, I think we all shared in that reward in some way, shape, or form. I mean, things were really good and solid for a while. I mean, everybody's got, you know, it seems like, you know, the neighborhood I live in Queens is certainly not wealthy. It's not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. But I see relatively poor people walking around with iPhones and, you know, iPods and computers, and they have nice cars, and it appears that no one really stopped and said, well, how can we sell a security on something of such a horrible investment? I mean, we're investing into the hope that this guy making $50,000 a year will be able to afford this $1 million house. And so long as housing prices keep going up and the economy is doing fine, we don't have anything to worry about. It's when those things start to turn around that we do have something to worry about. And then there's the whole other side of things of people who sold insurance so that they could sell these securities to people. And they didn't think that it was necessary to keep any money around in case if this all went to pot. You know, while all of that is unethical, unfortunately, nothing about it was illegal. You know, we can scream and yell and shout to the hilt about this, but if most of this stuff goes to court, they'll rule it as insufficient evidence, and they really had nothing to peg them on, because they can just, you know, claim that they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. I mean, yeah, give them a slap on the wrist, but I mean, what do you do here? I mean, the best thing you can do is just completely overhaul the moral and ethics in which we deal with money in this country. We need to get real about it, and we need to get real about it very quickly. So, you know, be prepared, pray for the best, prepare for the worst, and, you know, just keep our fingers crossed here, kids. I think we're in for a bumpy ride.
Did I mention I bought a new rifle?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Is it shiny?
No, it's black.
You know, it was interesting. I was actually looking into rifle licenses, because you actually have to get a license to have a rifle in New York City.
Oh,
you have
to come to Texas, Doc. Come to Texas.
But I like it here, and I just got a new job, so I can't come to Texas. But and it's very interesting, and I'm sure that this will make you quite red in the face, but it is roughly $400 just to get licensed in this city for a rifle, just a regular old hunting rifle. You have to get, I think it's a $250 license fee, and then it's another $185 to get your fingerprints taken digitally and entered into the database and all that crap. So yeah, they make it pretty difficult around here to buy rifles.
I think someone once said, the power to tax is the power to destroy. All right, well, enough of the heavy subjects. How about that? Hey, you know what? Springer is going to be going to something in your neck of the woods, and we've got details coming up next, and we'll be back with the BTS Mix Show in just a moment.
Hi, everyone. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. My partner, Johnny Anonymous, and I would like to extend a personal invitation to all of our members and guests to attend this year's Culture of Contact UFO Festival, being held in Jersey City, New Jersey, this October 16th, 17th, and 18th of 2008. It is the only event of its kind run by alien abductees and experiencers. There will be huge names in the field that are going to be there, and most of them will be stripped of their PowerPoint presentations, and it will just be you, the speaker, and a microphone. Special guests include Bill Burns from UFO Hunters, Richard Dolan, Steve Bassett, Peter Robbins, Michael Mannion, Dave Bidney, Jeff Ritzman, and others. Plus, there's a rumor that there might be a special guest or two that just might show up. This year's theme is Mythology is Reality. The keynote speaker, T.O. Kassen Ghost Horse, and he will take us to the heart of what that means. So come on out. ATS will be there. Mark Allen will be there. An event like this doesn't happen but once in a lifetime, and unlike normal UFO conferences, this one will not break your bank account. For all the details and ticket information, please check out their website at www.cultureofcontact.com. That's www.cultureofcontact.com. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to rub shoulders with some of the best.
The BTS Mix Show.
It's enjoyable, and it serves an important purpose.
Now back to Spencer and Doc.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. You know, Doc, that sounds like a lot of fun, and we'll actually have links, some of the different articles and some of the other things for that conference. So you don't want to miss that. And Doc, it's pretty close to you. Maybe you can make a trip and go check it out.
Yeah, man. Jersey City's right across the pond from me. I was thinking about scheduling a little trip out there. I think that might be a good time. I might swing by and say what's up to all the boys over there at ATS.
There you go. Hey, what's next on the docket?
We haven't heard from our good friend Lombozo in a little while, so I found a kind of fun thread of his and thought we'd check it out. So this is from Lombozo in the general chit-chat forum, and of course he's using his stuff mentality. So like I was thinking and stuff, so I was sitting here doing some thinking, and I says to myself, self, what in the heck is going on and stuff? Like, I haven't been really doing anything posting lately. Geez, like, what the heck? I haven't even really been doing much thinking lately. My brain has been, like, distracted and stuff. Don't worry, I'm still around. So I says to my brain, you better start doing some good thinking, because, like, I need to do some thinking and posting and stuff. Come on, brain. You got something perfect to post? Am I going to swallow a 10-pound bag of ice and freeze you good? What to post about? Oh, like maybe about the $700 billion bailout and those greedy financialists? Nah, like there are already $700 billion threads out there already. Nope, not perfect. How about posting about airplanes never hit the WTC or the Pentagon? It was holograms instead. Holograms? Like if holograms were that realistic and stuff, like I'd make a hologram of a hot woman, buy a bunch of extra socks, never leave the house and stuff. Nope, not perfect. Perfect post. Okay, brain, I'm heading to the freezer and stuff. You better start doing some thinking like quick and stuff. Wait, I got it. Like words that end in ision and stuff. It's a conspiracy. And he goes on for a little while. And I love these threads because they're so random and they're so refreshing. They are quite a breath of fresh air. And I enjoy them very much, Lombozo. Keep up the good work, sir.
Yes, it's like crawling into your head, Lombozo, and traveling along in a canoe, the river of thought that flows from your cerebrum. And sometimes it's a little scary, but most of the time it's pretty fun. It's like a ride at Six Flags, so keep it up, buddy.
And of course, if you're looking for something to post about Lumbozo, this has certainly been a hot topic on BTS and ATS. And this comes in from DG Temp, lover of fun here on ATS. This is in the rant forum once again. Boy, we're ranting an awful lot today, Spencer. We're highly opinionated people, I suspect. And this, again, comes in from DG Temp. And says, enough with Sarah Palin already. Enough. My goodness. And this is, of course, referring to last week's vice presidential debate. She didn't fumble last night. So she's a goddess, a star, the messiah. Since when is it a thrill and an accomplishment that a person running for the vice presidency of the United States can carry an intelligent debate? She or he is supposed to know their stuff. For crying out loud enough, here's McCain gloating about her rehearsed performance. What the hell is this all about? Forgive me if I'm wrong, but there are standards so low since Bush that anyone who comes across with some common sense is now to be celebrated? Sarah exceeded expectations. Wow, this has to be the most disgusting dissection of this woman. Wow, she can actually fight her way out of a paper bag that I've ever seen in my entire life. Is she running for president or is McCain? Personally, I think this is just plain ridiculous and undermines all women. And I believe that DG Temp is a woman as well. So this is a female perspective, of course, about Sarah Palin. Spencer, any thoughts on the Palin Meister?
I'm going to jump over to Fathom's post, and they write, and I don't know if it's a he or she. I would assume a she. You want to know what the best part is? That she has this effect on liberals. You got to love it. Seriously, though, she's not a Washington insider. She has a fresh face. And someone that is tough, and she's proven that she can change the established government. And I know even you agree that it's got to be changed. Well, I don't know if she can do it by herself. I think, here's the deal. I think most people, and a lot of, I'm just going to speak from the conservative side, Doc. There's a lot of conservatives that want to support McCain, but they would rather see Sarah Palin at the top of the ticket. Because McCain hasn't given them anything to vote for. He's a liberal Republican. I mean, he's over there with Lieberman, and he's like a moderate Democrat. The guy is pretty liberal. So it was a bright move putting Palin on the ticket. I like Sarah Palin personally. I think she's a neat lady. Saturday Night Live quit being relevant, you know, years ago. And to bring Tina Fey back, that was like, you know, oh, look, we can get some ratings and this will be fun and we can show how liberal we are because we're, you know, it's most Americans go, okay, it was kind of cute, funny the first part, but we kind of know what you're doing. We're not ignorant. It's kind of like we understand Wall Street, Congress. We're not ignorant of that. So I think she is the reason most people might vote for McCain. Even though they don't like McCain, they would vote for McCain because, golly, she is one heartbeat away from the presidency, and they actually think she should be at the top of the ticket anyway.
Well, you know, Spencer, I'll kindly disagree with you on this. You know, if right after the Republican National Convention, when everybody was saying the media was too tough on her, they berated her family, they berated everything about her. And I mean, who can really say what? Because, you know, at that point, the media had no idea who this woman was. And here they introduced this surprise out of nowhere. And of course, she's going to be scrutinized. And I will agree that the media went too far. I think they went too far into her family life. I think they went too far into all the things surrounding her and tried to pull a rabbit out of a hat when there wasn't always necessarily a rabbit there. There are still some things sticking, this Troopergate thing, which I think is ultimately inconsequential. But if you had said this right after the RNC, I would have agreed with you. But the fact that they put a woman on the ticket, and I'm convinced after everything that has been said and done and the amount of secrecy that they've kept around her, and they've only let her run her little taglines in her speeches publicly without having to take any questions from anybody. And the first interview that she does give, while sure it was edited fine, those were stupid ass answers. I'm sorry, they were stupid answers. And if you're going to be vice president of the United States, that's fine. But we're not looking for someone in the vice presidency to be able to wink and nod and just, you know, give these quick, quirky one lines. I mean, this is someone who's going to have to deal with foreign officials. This is someone who's going to be put into difficult situations on a daily basis, and they're not going to be able to hide her from that stuff. And I guess my response to Sarah Palin when she says, oh, well, the media is attacking me, I'm being attacked by the media. No, you're not. You're letting them define your story by staying completely out of the media. If you're truly this smart and you're truly this enthusiastic and you're truly something that the Republicans are so very, very proud of, then get in front of people. Get these interviews. people all over the news syndicates are saying, if you don't want editing, if you don't want blah, 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 come on our show. We'll do an hour with you live, completely unscripted, unedited, and we'll just shoot around some questions. But this whole thing of, oh, feel bad for Sarah Palin because the media is you know, attacking her, I can't buy into that anymore, because if you allow the media to make up their own story, they will. If you don't want to have them make up their own story, then get in front of them and answer these tough questions and give answers that are satisfactory to, you know, to the American people. But making up this stuff and coming in with these quirky one-liners, to me, is a decimation of our political system. And the reason, you know, all over ATS, people keep coming in with this line, you know, I love the fact that she has liberals so upset. We're not upset for any other reason than I have a feeling that she is just an incredible idiot. And I don't trust her. I don't think she's genuine. I don't think she's legitimate. And I don't think she is capable of handling this position. I'm sorry. I just don't. The effect on me is that how can we make such a mockery of our democratic system when this election in particular has never, the stakes have never been higher? I was just reading a poll that people are more concerned about what is going on with this economy right now than they were after 9/11. And I heard someone put this into a pretty keen perspective. During 9/11, when President Bush was flying around in Air Force One, you know, directly after he heard it, and they put him up in the air to keep him safe, and Cheney was in his underground bunker, wherever the hell he was, making the call as to whether or not that these commercial airliners needed to be shot down. Do we want someone like Sarah Palin in that position when she can barely answer a pretty easy question from Katie Couric on CBS? That's my opinion on the whole thing. I'm not a big fan of Sarah Palin, in case you couldn't gather that by now. And I think she's made a mockery of our election system, as if it weren't a mockery already. But that's a whole other story. So,
okay, I have one more thing to add, and then we'll go on to the next topic. I think that Hollywood sweetheart is Mr. Obama. If you want to talk about experience, Sarah Palin has much more experience than some guy that was going to be president, and she is far more scrutinized than he should be as president and leader of the free world. I think that it's pretty obvious that the media has their sweethearts, and you can lose an election by saying something wrong. I think she actually thought she did really well on the debate. Now, that being said, would you go and allow what you already know is a loaded forum to go into that forum and get shot at, or, you know, know that there's already a bias against you? I mean, there's sometimes you're just going to have to do that. But you, if you're going to ride on that wave of popularity, don't open your mouth and say something stupid that can ruin it.
Look, you know, I mean, Obama went on the Bill O'Reilly show and held his own. And I guess the difference is no, Sarah Palin does not have more experience than Barack Obama. I'm sorry. And to keep pulling this up, just because she's the governor of a state with seven people in it. Yes, it's the fourth smallest state in the union.
Oh, you're going to piss off the Alaskans, man. Don't piss off the Alaskans.
Hey, listen, I got nothing against Alaska, but for her to sit there and say that she has all of this executive experience, I call BS on that. And look, Barack Obama has been asked thousands and thousands and thousands of questions, some easy, some softball questions, some really, really tough questions. And he's answered every single one of them truthfully and honestly, and he's never shied away from the media. He's never shied away from an interview. He's never shied away from getting in there and talking about the issues that we're talking about in this election. To bring in someone who there seem to be so very proud of, and all of these people are defending her, then get her out and let's ask some questions. Let's do a little scrutinization. And until that happens, which it's not going to, because they're going to keep her under lock and key because they're so proud of her, until that happens, then people will continue to make up their own story about them. Obama has, look, I don't think a single presidential candidate has ever been criticized about more things than Barack Obama. There were more lies coming out about him, about his past, about his religion, where he was born, where he's come from. There were just utter, flat out, atrocious lies that were said about him. And he weathered that. As he kept campaigning, more and more people started to like him. And sure, you know, you can argue that that some of the media is liberal. You can argue that some of it's conservative. At the end of the day, he has sat through this 2-year vetting process and beat Hillary Clinton, one of the most powerful political machines on the planet, came out on top, and now is still, you know, kicking butt and running for vice president of the running for president of the United States. So this whole thing, you know, get Sarah Palin in front of these interviewers, get, you know, her opinions out and her ideas out. And now I'm ranting again. And, oh, geez, I guess we can just go on about this forever. We'll agree to disagree, Mr. Spencer. And on that note, let's take it to the next thread, shall we?
Actually, let's just take a break because I need to go have a cigarette after that, Doc. All right, we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix Show right after this.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC. You're listening to the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And we're back with the BTS Mix Show. Hi, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And now that Spencer and I have made up from our political discourse.
I love you, Doc. I love you, Doc. Regardless of who you're going to vote for, I still love you. Coo, coo, coo. Yeah, okay, enough of that crap.
A little lighter topic to hop into here. This is in the general chit-chat forum. This comes in from PeaceJet. And actually, I was wondering about a few of these things, so I'm glad PeaceJet brought this up. I didn't want to seem like a out-of-touch internet user. But PeaceJet writes in and says, can anybody please answer these questions? Yes, I, PeaceJet, and only 6 months old to the internet world, and 1.5 months old in ATS, BTS, and I see a lot of short forms here, like LOL, ROFLMA, BTW, IMO, OP, and IMHO. And I am clueless about what they mean. Can anybody please give an expansion of the other short firms which are in use here? It would be greatly appreciated. And Oz the Weatherman answers straight forth and says, LOL is laugh out loud. ROFLAMA is roll on the floor laughing my ace off. I assume you mean that. And BTW is, by the way, IMO in my opinion. OP is opening post. And IMHO, in my humble opinion. So that's good. It's good to clear that stuff up.
I'll never remember that, though. I do have a new one, though, for Sarah Palin. It's VPILF. That wasn't it. It was VPILHW. I'd like to hunt with. Yeah, what'd you think I meant? All right, there's another one, though. Here's another one. MSDAPA. You know what that means?
No clue.
Man sues doctors after penis amputated. That means we're going to the breaking general news forum.
Woo-hoo. Oh, man. And this one just makes you want to cringe. It really, really does. Why don't you tell us about this one, Spencer?
This is like a guy's nightmare. You go into the hospital and snip. According to the lawsuit, this is posted by Dimensional Detective, by the way. Philip Seaton, 61, went to have a circumcision last October as part of a treatment for a medical condition. Seaton said when he woke up from the procedure, they'd taken off just a little more than a tip. Yep, he had his penis amputated. How do you confuse circumcision with an amputation, Doc?
Well, apparently they're saying that while the doctor was performing the circumcision, he found some cancerous tissue and decided to amputate, but the patient didn't give any consent to do anything other than a circumcision. Like, isn't that a decision like you want to wait, have the patient wake up, say, hey, pal, just so you know, I found some cancer. Do you want to take this route? Do you want to try some treatment? No, he just made up the mind for the guy. And look, I'm really against frivolous lawsuits, but sue the pants off of this man for crying out loud. Oh, I'm still like, I'm literally like hurled over in a ball here, like wincing in pain just reading this story.
Okay, so you're going to cut off my wanger if you find cancer. Okay, I'm signing the do not resuscitate thing. Can you imagine? Well, you know, this is a doctor's decision, and I'm going to play God here, so you're now stubby. I can't believe that. You've heard horror stories, Doc, about some of these doctors that do the weirdest thing, like sew up people's orifices, butt cheeks together. One guy I read about sewed up a woman's vagina, and you're sitting here going, what the heck is wrong with some of these people that have you under their power when you're under anesthesia? It's a scary, scary thing.
Well, yeah, and how the hell did they ever get a medical license? You know, you'd think that they'd have a slightly better way to weed those kind of people out. It's stories like, you know, people, they're selling people's kidneys and all sorts of stuff, man. Really check into your doctors, folks, and have a good long discussion with them, especially if you're getting anything done to the area down under. Just make sure you're clear with them. Just say, hey, look, you're going to do one thing, and anything else, you know, is completely unacceptable. Really make sure you go over the ropes with them on that. Make sure you know what the procedure is going to be, how they're going to do it, and what they're not going to do. Make sure you enforce that list, for crying out loud.
Here's one from Silver Flame that posted, oh, my God, after stop laughing, this is what I think. But don't laugh. That's horrible. One of my friends was married to a very sexual woman. Let's say she is hard to please. He got put on shots to keep it up. Evidently, this is one of those industrial strength Viagra shots or something. Well, for her birthday, he ups the dosage. And, you know, that one of those little warnings that they have. If you have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, be really proud and then drive yourself to the emergency room.
Let me guess, he had a 4 hour Woody.
The doctor told him it's probably not going to work again. So his wife asked if they could make him a woman. The doctor said that he would not do that without consent. After we here at work heard that, we couldn't believe what she would say after that. Needless to say, it still does work, and for some reason he's still married to her. So it all came out well in the end. But can you imagine? You're unconscious, and your wife goes, you know, I've always had this kind of a kinky. Can you make my husband a girl?
Well, they reattached Bobbitt's wanger, didn't they?
Yeah, but they didn't ever find a brain. If he only had a brain. Yeah, all right. Well, you can post on that one and read more about it in that forum. This is something I found that was just bizarre, and we read about this from time to time, and we covered this in several of our different forums throughout the 30-some-odd episodes that we've done so far. This one is in the Dreams and Personal Predictions column, My Son's Dream the Night Before Last. All right, and it is posted by Antar. First of all, he is 27 years old and an artist, above average intelligence, with his feet well-rooted in the ground. He's not taken to flights or fancy, nor for succumbing to any type of fear or paranoia. And then it goes on to talk about the dream when he was telling her this. He says, I was in Northern California with my dad, and we were under martial law. Well, that may be true. Surrounding the election and several countrywide catastrophes. Life as I knew it was over, and the level of fear from everyone was astounding and undeniable. We hoped it was all happening to others and would not directly affect us. I looked out the window of my dad's house and saw dozens of people dressed in white in full war mode, carrying weapons and hauling people kicking and screaming from their homes. My neighbors were being beaten down and thrown into vehicles and buses. I ran to Dad, who just thought I was making it up somehow, and then just look out the window at the ensuing chaos in the streets. They were only a few houses away. I can't tell you the feeling in my gut and the fear that threatened to strangle my breath away. I knew that my heartbeat could be heard from outside of my chest, and it pumped so hard it felt like it was threatening to rip out of my chest. Grabbing a sword and a short knife from the wall, well, that's kind of cool. You got kind of a neat collection there. Following Dad downstairs to hide, seconds later, we listened as they burst in the front door and a flood of booted heels trampled across the house, ransacking each and every room as they looked for unknown occupants of the house. No time to think, as the door ripped open with a loud bang, I began swinging the weapons, taking out everyone, plowing through the room as they attempted to force us out. Dad was at my back and somehow had a gun in his hand, began to shoot them with their own weapons. Now, we cut to being outside in a forest area behind Dad's house. As things begin to progress, and you read a little bit more about this dream, you'll see that UFOs are involved, and it's almost like someone had the TV on War of the Worlds while they were dreaming this. Very interesting kind of dream. Doc, what do you think?
Well, you know, this is really kind of fascinating, and I'm not sure, you know, it's always hard to say if these types of things are coordinated. There is a lot of chatter going on right now on ATS about October the 7th, and we're taping the show Monday evening on October the 6th, and there are 8 or 9 threads, I think, discussing various predictions for October the 7th for some reason, that something massive will even happen that day, or it will be the beginning of something massive that will have great impact on us for a good long while, something much more tremendous than 9/11 and its impact and its effect not only violently on society, but in the way it changes psychology and so forth and so on. And a lot of it is being connected with the financial crisis, and that has something to do with it. And, you know, but I was listening to this thing, and I take most of these things with a grain of salt because there are a lot of predictions, obviously, on ATS. This one seems, though, to have kind of a more three-dimensional kind of aspect to it, and there's a lot of things coming in from a lot of different places. And I listened to an audio script, and you can find this on ATS somewhere, but it's this guy, and he's been having these visions, and he says that he has shards of visions. And as they come together over time, they create more of a clear picture, and they get stronger and stronger directly before the actual event itself. He goes through these kind of strokes, and his body kind of seizes up, and his muscles, he says, go pretty crazy. And he said he had a similar experience before 9/11 and before the 2004 tsunami, I believe, that hit Indonesia. And has had, you know, he gets these things every day just with small things like where his house keys are or stuff like that. And he was saying that he had a vision of martial law in California, large nuclear explosion, all of this panic. But he just kept talking about the fear that everybody was feeling, and that the fear was palpable, and everybody was so afraid and had no idea where to go and all of this. And there are several other threads. I think there's a web bot prediction. It's this web bot that searches through the internet and goes through old stories and new stories and all the news and what's going on, and makes predictions about certain things. And I guess it predicted the anthrax attacks right after 9/11. I guess it's predicted a few other things in the years past. And it is saying that something will happen on October 7th. It hasn't been specific with anything. So, you know, as we're taping the show, obviously, we hope that October 7th will go through, you know, without a hitch, and we always do. But it's certainly interesting that so many different things from so many different directions are coming in, and all kind of saying the same thing. They're saying, you know, martial law, and it's interesting, you know, if it's true that this kid hasn't been involved with ATS, then that's really something, because I mean, you can certainly read through these posts and have some pretty bad dreams, to say the very least. But it's certainly interesting. Spencer, what's your take on it?
You know, I don't discount anybody's dreams. I've had dreams before where things have happened. I guess we discussed this in maybe a show or two ago when we were talking about dreams and visions, and I said something about California in October and things like that. It's interesting because all of that seems to be pointing that direction. We'll see. I don't want to put something out there that everybody's going to freak out, because, you know, this is the place where you deny boredom, not deny ignorance. Those are the guys over at ATS. That's all I can say. We'll see what happens, and if nothing happens, then I'm happier for it. How about you?
Exactly, and I'm sitting on a bunch of cans of beans, and I know Dave Rabbit would be pretty excited about that. I'll have him over. We'll eat him up.
Yeah, and then play a game of butt darts, would you?
sounds like a weekend to me.
All right. Well, you know, I wanted to, before we get out of here, Doc, and do the BTS screen test, run over to the general chit-chat forum, the official Ladies of BTS appreciation thread posted by who else? Q-Ball. This UWP-supported thread is to support the lovely ladies here on BTS. You know, they were showing him some love after our last interview because they thought his accent was sexy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also to show certain members, I am not gay.
Viking Ant, yeah, that's a member on BTS who apparently made him feel less than heterosexual.
Oh, well, that's sad. In particular, the ladies, which I believe reflect that there is some really intelligent people out there with good intentions who are really easygoing. So may I particularly point out Carrot, Rush, I Am Jaded, Nuts, Orange Light, and Access Denied. And I have to, you know, I have to put a check by all of those. Those are some of our great ladies on Below Top Secret.
Yeah, and always a shout out to the ladies here on BTS. A good day, ladies, and may you have a pleasant tomorrow.
You have a pleasant tomorrow.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, Spencer. You give me way too much credit.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the BTS Mix Screen Test.
Screen Test.
Waka waka wah. I can't do it, man. I think I blew out a vocal cord doing that. Sorry.
Be careful with them chords, man. This week's BTS Mix Screen Test, and I don't know. It's a pretty good one, I think. I think we can make this one worth 5,000 points. What do you think, Spencer?
Cha-ching. 5,000 points. All right. Nail it, Doc.
The BTS Mix Screen Test of the week goes a little something like this. From the land of great cigars comes a class actor. A fan of the ocean, this gamer has always been just the ticket for success. Sometimes you'll need to roll with the big dogs, even if one of your first gigs was on Hill Street Blues. Who is this actor? And if you guess it correctly, it could be worth 5,000 BTS screen points.
How sweet. I love it. That's a good one, Doc. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in again to this week's show of the BTS Mix. And of course, I want to remind you, you can also subscribe on iTunes. Now, here's how you do it. Asala had written us and said, hey guys, how do I sign up on iTunes? Really easy. Just go to iTunes, do a search for ATS Mix, and you will be able to, when you subscribe to that, pull down all our shows. That's the easy way to do it, and an answer to your question, Asala. Also, remember, if you'd like to be on the BTS Mix show with Doc and me, don't worry, we're going to be having the debate soon, Q-Ball. We're just trying to get everybody's schedules lined up with that. Send us a U2U. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And come on, be on the show with us, man. We'll have a good time. We always do when you get some of these debates rolling. And we always love just to sit and chat with you. So if you want to be on and hang out with Spencer and myself, by all means, send us a U2U and we'll get you on right away. For both of us here at the BTS Mix Show and our 30th edition, we all thank you for tuning in and, of course, for listening to us for all these 30 shows. And we hope you tune in with us for many more. It's been a lot of fun so far.
You bet it has. For the BTS Mix Show, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Be good to one another.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website, belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.